I always fancied going on a cruise in the sun, and particularly where I could speak for my supper. About 9 years ago, I had my wish come true. I was invited to co-lead an autumn cruise through the Mediterranean for Master Sun, a Christian travel company that's subsequently gone bust. That wasn't my fault, I hope. And it was billed the Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem cruise. And we visited some of the biblical sites of Crete and Jerusalem and Galilee, and some of the churches that Paul planted, and the apostles in Turkey, Patmos, and Greece. There were daily lectures about the significance of the places we were visiting and the Christian communities we were going to meet. And we did indeed pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Master Sun had already invited another speaker who was quite a friend of Israel, and they thought to balance him, they needed someone who was a friend of Israel, but also a friend of the Palestinians too. And so that's why they invited me. And so together we complimented each other. But when my name appeared on the publicity for the cruise, a rather eccentric minister wrote to Master Sun, warning them that they shouldn't allow me on the ship, because if they did, the ship would sink. Well, Master Sun didn't seem too worried, but I did some research on the kinds of whales that live in the Mediterranean. And I was more nervous still when I discovered that although the ship was a Greek ship, because we were visiting Israel, there was a team of security guards on the boat, and it was an Israeli security firm that they'd employed. But the cruise actually went very smoothly, and apart from the last night, that is, we encountered a rather violent electrical storm on the Aegean Sea, not far from where Paul encountered his. Everyone was on deck taking photographs of the impressive lightning displays, but because I'm a little deaf without my hearing aids, I slept soundly through the whole thing, and I was told all about it the next morning over breakfast. It was the nearest I've come to experiencing the kind of crisis that Paul describes in Acts 27, and I invite you to turn to it with me. And there should be an outline in the weekly news that will help you find out where we're going through the passage. I've entitled this, How Can We Be Confident in a Crisis? Because at one time or another, sooner or later, we all will find ourselves going through a crisis. Sometimes we cause our own problems, sometimes we have no choice. Everyone will experience times of crisis. It doesn't seem to matter how good we're trying to be. As the scriptures say, the rain falls on both the just and the unjust. So how do we deal with a crisis? Is it like Corporal Jones in Dad's Army? Don't panic, don't panic. How can we stay calm? How can we maintain our trust, our confidence, our courage, regardless of what happens to us? Well, the Apostle Paul is on a ship heading for Rome. He is a prisoner. And while on board, God has told Paul to tell the crew not to leave the harbor because there's going to be a storm, a serious storm, and the ship is going to be destroyed and they might even lose their lives. But the sailors, like many of us, were impatient. They ignored what God had told them through Paul and they set sail into this perfect storm. And in the opening verses, we discover three reasons why people get themselves into a crisis. I wonder if you can identify with any one of them. I want us to look at, first of all, three of the common reasons people get into a mess. And they're all in verses 10 to 13. The first is that we're in danger of always listening to the experts. Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Instead of listening to Paul, the centurion listened to the pilot and the owner, who had a vested interest in getting the cargo to market. Invariably, even today, the cargo is often more valuable than the ship. It seems everyone's got an expert opinion, but when you start asking the wrong experts, we get ourselves into a mess. Second mistake, second cause of getting ourselves into a crisis, is to go with the majority. Since the harbour was unsuitable, Luke tells us, verse 12, in winter, the majority decided we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbour in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. They took a vote. The majority decided the ship should sail on, hoping to harbour in Crete instead. But the fact is, the majority view is often wrong. We can get ourselves into all kinds of trouble by following the prevailing opinion, what our friends think. We don't want to be on our own. We don't want to be a loner. If you want to encounter a crisis, listen to the experts and go with the majority. And then thirdly, they let circumstances decide. They let circumstances decide. Verse 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and they sailed along the shore of Crete. It was when this gentle south wind began to blow, the sailors thought, circumstances look favorable, the gods are smiling on us. But it is crazy to ignore what God says, even if circumstances look good, even if you think you can get away with it. If God says wait in the harbor, you better wait in the harbor. Three common reasons why people get into a mess. Listen to the experts, go with the majority, and let circumstances decide. If that is how we can get ourselves into crisis, let's identify three of the common mistakes people make when they are in a crisis. Three common mistakes people make in a crisis. When the sailors found themselves caught in a storm, they made three mistakes that the rest of us make when we find ourselves in a crisis. First of all, we let ourselves drift. We go with the flow. You know, experts tell us that often in a crisis, say something is going seriously wrong with a car, with a train, with a plane, a large proportion of people just sit tight. They don't seek to deal with the situation. Notice what happened, verse 14. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. The first thing that storms tend to do is cause us to let go of our goals. We forget where we're headed. We forget our values and we drift. We just let the waves beat us backwards and forth, wherever our problems will take us, helpless. We let ourselves drift, hoping the problem will just go away. Maybe debt. Maybe smoking. Maybe an inappropriate relationship. If we drift, hoping the problem will go away, it won't. How often do you hear someone say, to excuse their behavior, I couldn't help myself? Avoid drifting. Stay out of the danger zones. Secondly, they started throwing things overboard. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the tackle overboard with their own hands. You see, the ship was in danger of being overwhelmed by the waves, so they dumped the valuable cargo overboard to lighten the ship. And that wasn't enough. They began to throw over the essential equipment they needed to sail the vessel. They were desperate. But isn't that what we're tempted to do in a crisis? To throw caution to the wind? In a crisis, we're tempted to jettison the very things that are important to us. I was listening to a tragic story of a friend yesterday. Husband and wife disagreed over whether their children should go to a comprehensive school or a private school. The husband and wife divorced because they couldn't agree where to send their children to school. What are you willing to throw overboard in a crisis? The ship was full of grain, a valuable cargo, but to survive, they dumped it in the sea. And what are you willing to dump? Your reputation, your credibility, your character. In a crisis, we are tempted to drift, hoping the problem will go away. But when that doesn't, we're tempted to jettison our values. We rationalize. We get pragmatic. We try and cut the losses and run. And when that happens, we're vulnerable because we've got nothing to hang on to. They were drifting helplessly. They'd thrown everything of value overboard. And when that failed, what did they do next? They gave up hope. They gave up hope because there was nothing left. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up hope of being saved. Notice the "we finally gave up all hope." Is that Luke? In an extreme crisis, we eventually get to the point of despair and giving up hope. We've thrown everything away. We've nothing left. Think about it. These sailors were in darkness. They couldn't necessarily tell what time of day it was. 14 days and nights. They were without food, without sleep. They were exhausted, fearful, and terrified. They were in a tiny ship. They had to pass ropes around the boat to stop it breaking up in the raging Mediterranean, drifting. No life raft, no safety equipment, no buoyancy aids, no radio, no distress flares, no rescue services. No hope. Afraid of sinking, they were drifting helplessly. They had thrown everything of value overboard. There was nothing left, and they gave up hope. I wonder whether you feel like that right now. Maybe you're going through a problem that's been tossing you back and forth. You've ditched some of the things you value, and now you're at the point of despair. What's the use? There's no hope. It's an impossible situation, and you even think of, yes, even that. They gave up hope because they had not listened to God. And they had forgotten that God has a plan. They'd forgotten that God will bring hope into an absolutely hopeless situation. Three common mistakes people make when they make in a crisis. We let ourselves drift, we ditch the things we value, and we give up hope. But the reason this story is here in Acts chapter 27 is what happened next. Because the amazing part of the story is Paul's reaction. Despite being ignored and rejected, despite being in great danger, sharing the same plight as everyone else on board, what observations can we make about Paul? He's calm. He is confident, and he's displaying courage in a crisis. He takes the initiative. He shows leadership. The sailors' reactions were the natural responses we tend to have in a crisis. But anybody Anybody can be a good Christian when things are going well. You know, it's easy to be a Christian when the sun is shining. The test of faith comes when problems come. What should we do when things look like they're falling apart? When your ship appears about to disintegrate? What did the people do? Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. They prayed. I bet they'd prayed before this point, but it says at this point, verse 29, they prayed. The safest thing to do when you're in a storm is to drop your anchors, to slow down and pray. Paul displayed rare courage because he was secured by three anchors. Three metaphorical anchors, three spiritual anchors, three tremendous truths that serve as anchors for our soul too. When the wind of crisis is blowing on your back and forth, there are three truths that we learn from this passage that will stabilize you in a storm. It won't take the storm away, but it will enable you to survive the storm. And the first is trust in God's presence. Trust in God's presence. In the midst of the storm, Paul says, last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me. You see, God sent a personal representative, an angel, to say to Paul, I'm with you. I'm with you in the Mediterranean, in this storm, in this ship. I'm with you. You know, we need to remember that while we may not be able to see God, He sees us. We can't see Him, but He sees us. And God has put in Scripture promises that we should memorize, that we should hold on to as anchors when the crises come. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God said that, it's true, it's a promise, believe it. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Over and over the Bible says that wherever you are, whatever you're going through, God is there with you. You're never alone. Never alone. He is the anchor you can trust in. Trust in God's presence. Secondly, trust in God's purposes. Verse 24, God's angel tells Paul that God has a plan for his life that is greater than the storm he's in. Do not be afraid, Paul. You see, God knew that even Paul might be afraid at this point. Remember what he told them? He said, we could lose our lives. Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. You see, God's plan for Paul was that he was going to die, but not then, not now, in Rome. Because he must witness before Caesar. That was God's plan. And because that was God's plan, he had in his grace given Paul the lives of the other people in the boat. You see, you are not an accident. You were not put up on earth just to take up space, consume resources. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And if you don't know what that plan is, come to Christianity, explore, and find out what it is. God's plan is beyond the problems you face now. Maybe God is using those problems to get you to the point where you will trust in Him instead of in yourselves or the experts or your assets. You see, God, external forces, even a serious storm, cannot alter God's purpose for your life. As long as you can say, Lord, I want to do your will, as long as you can say, as Paul said, the God whose I am and whom I serve, as long as you can say that, then you can not only trust in God's purposes and His presence. Trust in God's presence. Trust in God's purposes, and finally, trust in God's promises. Verse 25. So keep up your courage, men, said Paul, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Paul is giving courage to these men. I have faith in God, you don't, I do. I'm serving him, and he's told me what's going to happen. Does God keep his promises? Yes or no? You may be going through a crisis right now. It's not an accident. You're here. You made it through the snow. Whatever your problems are, they may seem overwhelming, and you may think you're going to go under this time. But appearances are deceptive. You may lose your cargo. You may lose the tackle. You may even lose your ship. You may even get wet. But trust in the promises of God. Three anchors for your soul. Three common reasons. People get into a mess, listen to the experts, go with the majority, and let circumstances decide. Three common mistakes that people make in a crisis. Let ourselves drift. We start throwing things overboard and we give up hope. But three anchors that will stabilize you in the storms of life. Trust in God's presence, trust in God's purposes, and trust in God's promises. But what should we do while we're waiting for God to keep his promises? We're in that storm. We believe God's word. What do we do? The same thing the sailors did. Fearing they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. They did what they could. They did what they could. They dropped the anchors. They took responsibility, but they prayed. Anchor yourselves to the truth of God's word and pray for daylight. Pray for light. Pray for an understanding of what God's will is. And what was the result? What was the result? Morning came. Verse 39. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. And at the end of this spectacular crisis, if you read the rest of chapter 27, we see something very, very profound. In this way, everyone reached land safely. All 276 people jumped overboard and they got safely to land. In the storms of life, God says, I am with you. Let his truth stabilize your life, give you confidence in any crisis you face. Whatever you're going through at the moment, whether it's sunshine or storm, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. There is reason for it, and by God's grace, you're going to make it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this story. We thank you for the lessons we can learn from it. Lord, whatever we're going through today, whatever's going to happen tomorrow that we don't know about, please help us to trust in your presence with us, to trust your promises that you'll be with us and that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to trust that you have a purpose for all that we're going through and that you can turn that purpose to good for your glory. And help us to trust in your promises that we might glorify you in all that we do and indeed be confident in a crisis. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.